Welcome to Section 420, Talking Yankees, the podcast. Well, that was easy. Yankees take the first game of the 2024 baseball season in an exciting, unexpected, thrilling comeback win against the Houston Astros in Houston. Definitely a game that you did not expect to end the way, especially if you watched that first inning there, Nestor Cortes' battle and give up a three spot early on. You figure it was just going to be a game the Yankees are going to mail in, but that's not the case. It actually turns out to be a thrilling game, a very postseason-like game there, especially towards the end there. I think the Yankees got a bit lucky there, that nevertheless gritted out the win there, and I guess, if they could just win the next 161 games, they'll have no problems. But we'll get into the whole thing, get my reaction, and kind of give you some of the key points of the game, and probably the most important takeaways. Before we get started, we have a whole season ahead of us. If you haven't done it already, if somehow just lucked on finding this podcast, you want to get more episodes, we've got a whole season ahead of us, so make sure you subscribe to this podcast, wherever you get your favorite podcast, Section 420 Talking Yankees, the podcast, and there's also the YouTube channel there as well. A couple of days ago, made a little visit to Yankee Stadium, even though the Yankees are starting off on the road there, but kind of give a little tweak there. So you also get the YouTube channel as well as content you can't get there and vice versa. So you want to cover all the bases. So go to YouTube, type in Section 420 Talking Yankees and get the visual version of the show. So, all the spring training, all the offseason moves, all the injuries to Cole and so forth, and it all comes down to this, the first game in Houston. And I got to say, going into this game, Nestor Cortes, I had to take the ball because obviously Cole's out. Stroman gave it up just because it wasn't on his pitching schedule. And look, I didn't really love this matchup for Nestor as the first game of the year. And I know he's pitched in spring training, but, he hasn't really seen live ammunition, live action, which is just a totally different ball game, totally different adrenaline. When you got a packed stadium, especially on the road like that, it's different. And he hasn't pitched to late July, early August, when the Yankees finally had to yank him for the season because he was just hurt and ineffective with the rotator cuff. So this was kind of his first real start in quite a while, and you can kind of understand why he struggled early. He seemed like just be off a little bit of a tick. He gave up a couple of walks. Then, of course, they bat him around with a little bit, and then, of course, in the second inning, gave up a bomb of a home run, and before you know it, the Yankees are down 4-0. You figure this is a game the Yankees are eventually going to mail in, but that's not the case. Slowly but surely, Nestor finally settled down, uncorked 33 pitches in the first inning, but then from there, was very manageable the rest of the way, and just gave the Yankees an opportunity to stay in the game and fight back and chip away. And even early on, the Yankees had a couple of base-loaded opportunities that did nothing with it, had some big strikeouts and big spots. This was going to be a game that the Yankees would mail in. But eventually it got to Framber Valdez, who usually shuts the Yankees down, but he wasn't actually exactly sharp himself. At the end of the day, he ended up walking six batters there and hit a few batters there. So he was a little bit wild himself there. And finally, Yankees were able to break through thanks to Juan Soto, the new Yankee, with a bases loaded hit there. Got the Yankees on the board. And then the Yankees just chipped away. I mentioned I hit batsman, boarding another run. And then later on in the game, I thought it was a key spot there. And really, I think one of the standout heroes of this game you're not going to be heard of is Anthony Volpe. Again, did not have a good season last year, batting-wise, just with the .206 average, but had really two huge at-bats in this game. Now, he didn't make a big hitter like that, what you think. I mean, he did have a hit early on, but it was when the Yankees were rallying back, an opportunity there to be a little anxious, maybe wants to prove something, but took a huge walk to set up the Yankees later on for Verdugo. To be able to have an RBI sacrifice fly there. And even later in the game, the Yankees, with another situation with Volpe, down 0-2 in the count. And again, could easily, maybe a year ago, he swings out of his shoes or swings out of the strike zone, but no, stayed disciplined and was able to turn an 0-2 count into eventually a 4-2 walk just to get on in a key spot of the game. So really good game for Anthony Volpe. And if that's the version of Volpe we're going to get in 2024, a lot of good news for the Yankees because, we know he could hit. He hit the 20 home runs. We get it. He can steal bases, gold glove defense, even though there's room to improve there. But if he's going to be disciplined at the plate there and take some big walks like he did in this game, that to me, that stood out most of anything in this game just in terms of the offensive side of the baseball. Stanton there looked a little bit ugly. I mean, a lot of spots that you're striking out or just, grounded out and really didn't really hit the ball with any sort of authority there. Again, I'm not going to go crazy over the first game there. Judge, of course, with a big double later in the game to put himself in scoring position. He would ultimately score the go-ahead run in the game. And, of course, got to give props to Oswaldo Cabrera. Did not have a good season in 2023. Just kind of got the start by de facto, just by the injury to DJ LeMahieu and the Yankees. And I'll kind of get into this afterwards. Did make a move for John Birdie. Didn't really have a chance to really go into that. that, just because, you know, I did the YouTube episode. Literally, the trade happened right after that, so it's kind of a dead period, so I figured I would include that in this episode of the opening game kind of coverage, as well as I'll get my quick thoughts also into the whole Jordan Montgomery signing with the Diamondbacks. But let's get back into the game. Oswaldo Cabrera, as I mentioned, with a big home run to tie the game at the .44. Again, it was a solo shot. And off Montero, who's someone who I know they mentioned in the Yes broadcast that he gave up a lot of home runs last season, but here's a guy, you know, I remember two seasons ago where the Yankees could not touch that guy. He almost, I'm not going to say with Mariano Rivera, but just really good out of the bullpen, especially tough on the Yankees. So for Cabrera to get that home run at the point, that would, you know, that one tied the game 4-4 at that point. And then later on, it was the Verdugo sack fly later on that got Judge in, and the Yankees were able to go up 5-4. And Verdugo as well, a huge catch late in the game, went, you know, in left field there. A ball that definitely was going to drop in, and Altuve on first base with his speed definitely would have scored. At the point, that would have tied the game 5-5. But Verdugo made a great crossbody catch there in left field, able to maintain the score at 5-4, and that would ultimately be a final score there. So went Nestor with 5, who, again, after that first inning, you didn't think he would make 5 innings. Took him out. That's a good time. And Nestor also a good athletic play there, covering first base. Again, we've seen Nestor do that before, this time not going head first, luckily, so doing a little bit more carefully. But nevertheless, a good play by the guy. He don't exactly look like an athlete when you look at him on the surface, but nevertheless did that. And then, of course, then from after that, a little surprising to me, they went with Loaizaga early on. Now, I even mentioned this in the YouTube episode, so I need to go back to the YouTube episode, and no, not to pat myself on the back, but Michael K also made a Michael King / Jonathan Loaizaga reference, and I kind of broke that down in the YouTube episode as well, that yes, he can go multiple innings and maybe do multiple innings multiple days in a row there again, because they kind of his pedigree, he was brought up as a starter, so not your typical reliever in terms of the workload. But nevertheless, went with Loaizaga early on. Hey, look, I'm not going to disagree with Boone because he knows what he's doing. He was able to get this the sixth and seventh inning there. The seventh inning there, he started to lose his stuff a little bit, but got a big strikeout when it looks like the Astros put a couple of runners on. They were looking to threaten a little bit. And then went with Ian Hamilton, which I didn't expect there. In the eighth inning, Hamilton also had a runner on, got a huge double play. And Hamilton there, I don't know if he was pumped up. He had literally sweat dripping off his chin there. Looked like he had a waterfall a la Aroldis Chapman there. Maybe not as bad as Chapman, but pretty close. So it gets a huge double play to get out of the eighth inning. And then here comes the ninth inning here, where I think the Yankees lucked out a little bit. Clay Holmes did not seem to have his good stuff. I mean, his first pitch almost took the batter's head off there. Because that was Mauricio Dubon. And then the second pitch after that hits a single into right field. Then you're like, oh, here we go. But Clay Holmes gets a good, able to break Altuve's bat there. Easy pop up to second base. And then this is really the play of the game with Dubin on second there. Astros got a hit after that, so Dubin was in scoring position. Kyle Tucker with a single into right field. Again, Clay Holmes was touchable. He got touched up in this game. He was not good at all. So if you want to see this as, you look at this box score and Clay Holmes got the save there, but he really lucked out of this one. So Kyle Tucker with a hard hit ball to right field, and Juan Soto, who we were told not really known for his defense, not known for his arm, makes the throw at home. Now the third base coach, which I didn't think he would do this, but foolish, sent Dubon home there, which even I knew, even with Soto's arm, was not a good idea because it wasn't a sure bet. And good job by Trevino, blocked the plate just enough to make Dubon go outside there, and he was able to just get an underhand tag there across his body there. Now look, on the replay there, some angles looked like Trevino's tag was a little short. And I thought they were going to overturn this for a second, but then I didn't see the replay they were looking at, but they had a tight shot on Soto and Judge there, close up of them talking in the outfield. You could read their lips, and it looks like they were looking at the Jumbotron, and I guess Soto saw that they caught him on maybe part of the jerseys, maybe the part of the jersey flap there, and then, you know, when Soto grabbed his jersey to sort of signify that, then I felt more comfortable that they did get him, but it was really close there. The only good news for the Yankees is that there wasn't one angle that was convincingly showed that you saw daylight between Trevino's glove and Dubon's body there. So that was the good thing. So even if the Yankees did have an opportunity to maybe steal that call, because there wasn't a clear, conclusive angle of that. But I guess one of those angles that they didn't show in the Yes broadcast showed them that they did hit the jersey there. At least I didn't see it at that point. And then they called him out. And after that, Clay Holmes at least get a ground ball, I guess, and get an honest out there. To end the game. So Yankees with a thrilling 5-4 win there. Again, a lot of good stuff there, and not a game you expected to go end that way, just the way with Nestor Cortes started on the road against a Houston team that, you know, hits well in that ballpark, gives the Yankees some trouble there. So good opening day win for the Yankees. Only problem is, again, you got to worry about Clay Holmes a little bit, and we see where he gets amped up and he can get out of the zone a little bit, and you mentioned that on the broadcast. Not going to go crazy over one game either way, but he's someone I was okay starting the season with as the closer there, but you want to have a little bit of clean of a close than that what he had there, and he lucked out. Obviously, the Kyle Tucker ball was hit just a little too hard, which almost tempted the third base coach to go. They give him the go-ahead green light there, and he did, and the Yankees just got lucky on that one. So, you know, a little bit of grit, a little bit good, you know, hitting by the Yankees, good patience at the plate. And Yankees took their walks, they took their hits. Rizzo took a hit to score a run there. So, you know, they deserve the win. I'm not going to say they totally stole this one. They totally deserve the win to come back after being in 4-0 hole. But, again, Clay Holmes there did luck out a little bit, but nevertheless, sometimes you got to be good and you got to be lucky. So that's the first game. A lot of good stuff here. So, you know, again, my hero for the game is going to be Anthony Volpe. Didn't have a big double, a big home run, a big like that, but had two huge at bats, two huge walks in big spots. When the Yankees had the bases loaded, then they were rallying a little bit just to show maybe a little bit more maturity. So that's a good thing to see there. Other stuff, again, I'm not going to get down on Stanton. I'm not going to get down on Gleyber Torres right away there. But, you know, obviously, you know, definitely not a good game for Sandy. Again, looks like this. Either was swinging and missing, he was over swinging on the ball there, so not a good look for him. But again, not going to go crazy over one game. Now, I did mention the John Birdie trade. So a couple of days ago, obviously when we got the news that, you know, DJ definitely was going to be put on the IL, the 15-day IL, retroactive to start the season, made a three-way trade that involves both the Rays and the Miami Marlins. So they get John Birdie from the Miami Marlins. The Yankees send Ben Rovett, who we knew his day was numbers here because Austin Wells is going to be the backup catcher there. So you knew he was going to be shipped out at some point. He gets shipped to the Rays there, so I don't know, maybe he'll take his revenge on the Yankees someday. And then the Yankees have to send a pick to Miami, and I think Miami sends a pick to the Rays there, so it's a three-way trade, but really the two key players, John Birdie and Ben Rovett, goes down to the Rays there. And Birdie, you know, basically he's basically a backup plan for, you know, if Oswaldo Cabrera, you know, doesn't really have a good start to the season, or maybe this DJ injury lingers a little bit longer. Now, they're not really getting for his bat. They're getting for his defense. He could play third base. He could play shortstop, but mainly he's going to probably give him some time there at third basis with DJ away. But of course, now Oswaldo Cabrera, you know, hitting a home run in opening day like that, hey, you know, now he's making a case for himself there. But Birdie, I'll just give you his stats real quick. Now, he didn't exactly tear the cover off the ball in spring, so I don't think that's why they caught the Yankees' attention. He is 34 years old, so like DJ, he's not exactly a spring chicken. He kind of had an unfortunate situation. He really didn't make his major league debut until he was 28, so he's kind of behind the eight ball in that way. He's actually arbitration eligible for next year, 2025, if he's still in a Yankee uniform, and he doesn't really hit free agency, which is ridiculous. He'll be age 36 the first time he hits free agency in 2026 there. So again, this is kind of the bad part of bringing a player up late, so kind of a late bloomer there, but nevertheless. So hit .229, one home run, six RBIs in spring. But if you want to look last year, some good numbers there for the Miami Marlins in 133 games. Hit .294, seven home runs, so not exactly a power guy, with 16 stolen bases. But if you want to look at his 2022, he actually swiped 41 bases in 2022. So here's a guy that brings a little bit of speed to the game, even though, he's a little up there in age, technically, but could bring a dimension to the game that you don't really see much, especially from DJ LeMahieu, being able to steal bases. So he brings that, but mainly just getting him here as kind of a backup plan against Oswaldo Cabrera. Let's see how he is, you know, if he doesn't really have a good start to the season, or just nevertheless just have a competent third baseman that you know you could trust. So that's John Birdie. Now, Jordan Montgomery gets that whole thing finally ended. Ends up signing a one-year, $25 million deal with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Now, it looks like the Yankees did have a deal in place for him. It was going to be a four-year deal, but it was going to be one of those deferred money deals, similar to what maybe the Dodgers are doing a little bit with Ohtani, where they're going to like pay him to like almost like 20, 30-something, you know. Like they're going to front-load some of the money, but pay a lot of the remaining years off on the back end there. It was going to be a four-year deal total. It seems it's going to be a very, you know, obviously it'll be a friendly deal for the Yankees financially, but of course, I guess Montgomery's looking his million per. I mean, that's what he's thinking long term. So I don't think the Yankees should have spent $25 million on Jordan Montgomery. So I think it was the right move for the Yankees to let him go that way. Look, they offered him a fair deal for 4 years to bring him here in pinstripes. If he really wanted to be here, I guess they made it happen. Maybe Montgomery feels, look, I'll have a good 2024, and then maybe after that I'll get my 4 or 5 year deal at max money there. So wasn't fit for the Yankees. His better deal gets getting the 1 year deal for $25 million out in Arizona. So I'm not gonna scold the Yankees for not, you know, I'm not gonna call the Yankees cheap or stuff like that. I mean, Montgomery's turned himself to a pretty decent pitcher. He's not a $25 million per year pitcher, okay? He's not at that level yet. He's getting there, maybe will be after this year if he has a dynamo year, but he doesn't have enough track record to command that type of money, so I'm okay with the Yankees let him walk there. And again, if this is Nestor Cortez, again, first inning aside, put that away. Other than that, you saw some good things there, so I'm not going to say Nestor is all right. No worry about Nestor for the rest of the year, is okay, but good first step of him. And of course, Rendon having a very good spring. Stroman had a good spring there. Clark Schmidt's looked good. Luis Gil's looked good, so I don't think the Yankees went in desperation mode to go after Montgomery with that. So that's the first game in the books here. This is my initial reaction. Good stuff. Yankees with a thrilling 5-4 win. Good debut for Juan Soto. Okay, bounce back a little bit game for Nestor Cortez, even have a bit of a rough start there. But, you know, after the health problems, good just to see him in there competing and at least get, you know, taking the ball as far as he can. Yankee bullpen solid there for the most part. But, of course, Clay Holmes got a little bit of luck there. But hopefully he can, you know, straighten out some of those nerves. And, of course, the thing you're worrying about the most, I know it's on your mind, would be Joe Girardi. How would the YES Network use him? Well, he wasn't there in the booth, which I think is where his best is play-by-play commentary with Michael Kay. Again, before Girardi joined the Yankees as a manager, I liked him up there. I liked his analysis, and I like the backdrop that again, he is a manager, so he kind of has a little background on some of these strategies of the game there. So Joe Girardi using for color commentary in the booth, and that's, I think, where he belongs, not back at the studio there. So keep that for Bob Lorenz. Catch you in the next time.